Yes, you do, Kendo said. Glad you mentioned it. I didn't want to be rude. Your power is hard to miss. Unique, I would say. Dandelus told me I need to stop the Torvor, Cole said. Dandelus is long gone in the present day, Kendo said, let alone where you are from. He left an imprint of himself in the Founding Stone, Cole said, and I met his echo. Fascinating, Kendo said. What is the threat? Romaro escaped the Echo Lands, Cole said. He used a piece of the Founding Stone. The imprint of Dandelus managed to trap him in the vault you made. Kendo puffed his cheeks and blew out. You know far too many secrets, young one. Almost more than I do. In your time, my void is currently holding Romaro? Yes, Cole said. Is there any way we can strengthen it? I made it as strong as I could, Kendo said. I violated some of the laws I established for Creon to do so, bending the rules as far as I knew how. The void is my ultimate prison. It would hold almost anyone indefinitely, and it is utterly insufficient to contain a Torvor. How long will it hold him? Cole asked. How long has it held him? Kendo replied. A few days, Cole said. Kendo nodded. If it held him for more than an hour, the void will probably hold him for a few more days, not weeks. Days. A little over a week, maybe. You can't make it stronger? Cole asked. Not unless between now and then I learn groundbreaking information about the kingdom I personally designed, Kendo said. And you are? Cole. Pardon the bluntness, but is this a trap? Kendo asked. What? A trap to capture or harm me, Kendo said. I greatly prefer honesty. In the long run, it always simplifies matters and saves time. This isn't a trap. It would be a good one, Kendo said. A secret issue I desperately care about, delivered by children. You don't die today, Cole said. You still have to tell Lorenzo you'll be here. If you are here because I told him, it will happen, Kendo said. Of course, you could be lying. I've had misinformation from the future before. Maybe you heard that I die today. Maybe you came to do it. I can't read the future. I'm being honest, Cole said. What do you want from me? Kendo asked. Information, Cole said. How do we keep Romaro in prison? How do we stop him if he gets free? Happy to share what I can, Kendo said. The framers of the outskirts built the best prisons we could to hold the Torvors. Most of the framers are long gone now. Our greatest hope lies in keeping them inside those prisons. If Romaro gets free, I'm not sure how to recapture him. You came with four others? Yes, Cole said. Would you like them to meet with us? Sure. I don't mean to be pushy. Can you teleport them here? Cole asked. Easier and less conspicuous for you to speak to them, Kendo said. A small disturbance appeared in the air in front of Cole's lips. Tell them to meet at the corner of the square by the goat statue. Guys, I found him. Meet at the corner of the square by the big goat statue. Cole could see the huge goat up ahead. The disturbance vanished. Good, Kendo said. Tell me about your power. As they walked toward the stone goat, Cole explained how he could make items work outside of the kingdoms where they were designed to function. He also explained how he could energize the abilities of others and burn away the darkness of shapecrafting. Truly unique, Kendo said. I am honored to meet you. I'm honored too, Cole said. You're famous. I'm just a man who learned to outlive his time, Kendo said. And who helped make a world, Cole said. A fair imitation of a world, I'll give it that, Kendo said. We all have our talents. Human beings tend to hastily decide that if they excel at something, they excel at everything. I try not to be one of them. I have plenty of flaws, and there is plenty I don't know. Cole waved at his friends, who had all gathered at the goat. Violet looked at Kendo with crazed amazement. You are a young wayminder, Kendo told Violet. You're the original wayminder, she said. I'm not even worthy to talk to you. Kendo smiled uncomfortably. Yet here we stand. As you see, I am only a man, a short one. Violet shook her head. A giant, a legend, and you look so young. When aging has halted, it halts, Kendo said. He took in the group. You are facing a terrible threat. We've faced a lot, Jay said, but this tops them all. Tell me of the perils of your time, Kendo said. Cole explained about Owendell and the shapecrafters. Mira told about losing her power. Jace filled in details about some of the fights. And now you hope I can help design a way to thwart the Torvar, Kendo said. He folded his arms and stared at the ground. I hate to let people down, especially when it will cause the end of the world. We're feeling the same stress, Cole said. Kendo grinned. I suppose so. I have no definitive answer for you now, but I know the day you came from. With knowledge that Ramara will indeed get free and end up in the void, I will spend the coming decades preparing. I will devise the best strategy I can.
What can you tell us now? Mira asked.
Can we wait until after the ceremony? Kendo said. A former student of mine is involved. Then I can take you to a secluded location where we can speak freely. How long until it starts? Jace asked. Less than an hour, Kendo said. Can't we just skip ahead? Jace asked. You time travel, right?
Kendo smiled broadly. It would be convenient, but traveling forward through time is nearly impossible, particularly if you wish to return. Suddenly, he looked shocked.
Oh, no.
Cole turned his head, half expecting to see a terrible accident.
What?
Mira asked.
The perennial serpent is attacking Charlotte Lamb, Kendo said.
A wayport opened nearby.
Who?
Jace asked.
A former Grand Shaper,
Violet said. I have warning systems in place, Kendo said. An alarm just went off. I must go now. I refuse to lose another. He paused, almost spoke, and halted again. I could use help. Follow if you dare. Kendo Rattan stepped into the wayport and was gone. Chapter 18 Serpent.
Do we go?
Cole asked.
And confront the perennial serpent?
Violet asked in horror.
He can handle it, right?
Twitch asked.
Kendo Rattan lived to tell Lorenzo he would be here today, Mira said.
What if he lived because we helped him? Cole asked.
No way to know,
Violet said.
Might be good practice, Jay said. We have worse than a snake in our future.
Does that mean we have to jump into every fight between now and then?
Twitch asked.
If we don't go, Kendo must have survived without us.
We don't have time to debate, Jay said.
He's keeping the wayport open,
Violet said.
We need his help, Cole said. Shouldn't we help him?
Jace held out his golden strand.
Charge me up.
Cole touched the small rope and infused it with power.
Nobody has to follow me, Jace said as he lunged through the wayport.
Staring at the shimmering disturbance, Cole drew his jumping sword and pushed power into it. He could still feel his connection to the golden rope.
We're going?
Twitch asked.
I am, Cole said.
Violet and Twitch held out their hands, and Cole connected to their powers. Suddenly, Twitch had grasshopper legs. Mira presented her jumping sword, and Cole quickly powered it up. Then he entered the wayport. He stepped out onto a gentle, grassy slope. Higher up, the slope leveled off, and a wooden palisade enclosed the village. Low fences divided the surrounding fields into sections. At least a dozen cows were running in different directions, away from a giant snake. Fangs bared, hood spread, a silver and white cobra reared up 3 or 4 times higher than the man and woman before it. The enormous serpent had a head the size of an anvil and a body as thick as a tree. Cole recognized Kendo as the man. Dressed as a wayminder, the stocky woman looked well into her autumn years. A long scarf bundled her gray hair. Jace landed to one side of the serpent, cushioning the impact with the rope. Cole had seen Jace use the rope to propel himself into battle many times. Despite the fearsome appearance of the serpent, Jace had not hesitated. Pointing his jumping sword, Cole aimed for a spot in the field between Kendo and Jace and cried, "Away!" He sprang over the rippling pasture, stumbling as he landed, grass swishing against his shins. Wielding his rope like a whip, Jace lashed the serpent in the face once, twice, 3 times. Seeming more annoyed than injured, the snake swiveled to face the new threat. Mira landed beside Cole. Violet stepped through a wayport on his other side, followed by Twitch. Cole kept feeding all of them power, and his sword as well. Jace lassoed the huge cobra's mouth shut. The enormous serpent thrashed its head from side to side, then swept Jace's legs out from under him with its tail. Jace lost hold of the rope, and it fell away from the serpent's snout. Coils writhing into a new position, the perennial serpent wheeled and struck at the Grand Shapers. Kendo raised both hands, and the strike slowed almost to stillness. Slender fangs gleaming, the cobra inched forward. Kendo trembled. Cole could sense a massive flood of power emanating from him as he somehow manipulated the speed of the great snake. The slowness provided an opening. Cole drew his jumping sword, pointed it just below the head of the enormous cobra, and shouted, "Away!" He sprang forward, air rushing over him as he zoomed toward his target. The sword might not have a long enough blade to whack the head clean off, but Cole figured he could deliver an ugly wound. He would plunge the blade deep and let his momentum rip it free. He would need to jump again when he landed to offset the impact. Cole squeezed the hilt tightly. If he lost hold of the sword, it would be an ugly fall. As the tip of the jumping sword neared the silver-white scales, the serpent vanished. Instead of the expected impact, the sword struck nothing, and Cole sailed through empty space, taking a smaller jump to a nearby spot after landing. Cole saw Mira stagger to a halt some distance away. She had jumped at the snake as well.
"Behind you!"
Jace shouted. Cole turned to find that the enormous serpent had materialized behind him and was rearing up, jaws agape.
"Away!"
Cole shouted as he jumped back toward Violet and Twitch. In his haste, he leaped higher than was necessary. Another jump would definitely be needed upon landing. As Cole reached the apex of his flight, the perennial serpent appeared in his landing zone, head turned upward to greet him. Jace had recovered his rope, but the tail of the snake hurled him to the ground again. Cole plunged downward, and the cobra surged up to greet him. And then Twitch collided with Cole, abruptly changing the course of his descent, insectile wings fluttering. The striking snake missed. With Twitch's arms around him, Cole landed softly. Twitch dove in front of Cole as the serpent struck again. Sharp fangs plunged into Twitch's thigh, and he disappeared. The snake tried to come at Cole again, but the golden rope encircled the base of its hood. Moving like a ribbon in a windstorm, the perennial serpent thrashed and corkscrewed, but the rope held, and the other end of the rope began to entangle the tail. Jace had lengthened the rope farther than Cole had seen it stretch, allowing him to attack from a greater distance away. Despite his proximity to the dangerously flailing cobra, Cole looked around for Twitch, but could not see his friend anywhere. Cole realized he could no longer feel Twitch's power. What had happened to him? Where had the bite sent him? Cole saw Mira pointing her jumping sword at the serpent, and cut power to her weapon. Her mouth formed the word away before she took a small, unaided hop forward. He couldn't let her risk an attack. The snake vanished again. Still lending power to Violet in the golden rope, Cole aimed his sword at Kendo Rattan and sprang to the Grand Shaper's side. Cole laid a hand on the man's wrist and felt the power blazing within him.
"Stop the snake," Cole said, forcing a massive amount of power into Kendo.
The perennial serpent reappeared near Jace, ready to strike. A wayport appeared beside him, and Jace dove through to emerge behind the serpent. Kendo raised both hands, and the serpent moved in slow motion and began to shrink. Jace lassoed the cobra just below the hood again, and Cole could see the rope digging into the scales as it squeezed. The snake vanished. Kendo dropped his hands to his knees, panting.
"Stay ready," Cole said.
"It's gone,"
Kendo said.
"Really gone, this time."
"Dead?" Cole asked.
"No,"
Kendo replied. "But it fled through time."
"Should we follow it?"
Cole asked.
Kendo shook his head. "I can't track it. And mind you, I can track almost anything that moves through space or time.
Not the perennial serpent?"
"My oldest foe here in Creon."
"What about Twitch?" Cole asked. "The snake bit him, and he disappeared." Kendo regarded Cole with sad eyes.
"I'm unsure. Your comrade could be no more. He could be far removed across space or time. I can't sense what the serpent does, or really comprehend how, and believe me, I try."
Cole squeezed the jumping sword hard. He wanted to throw it. He screwed one heel into the ground by pivoting it back and forth.
"I'm sorry," Kendo said.
"What can we do?" Cole asked, trying to resist grinding his teeth.
"We can hope," Kendo said.
"What now?"
the female Wayminder asked.
"Flee to your safest stronghold," Kendo said. "We're no longer trapped here."
Violet, Jace, and Mira had approached.
"The two of you were stuck here?"
Violet asked.
"The fight did not begin here for Charlotte," Kendo said. "The serpent chased her across many locations, before corralling her here and blocking all escape. It shielded us from opening wayports to other destinations." Cole was trying to listen, trying to be interested. He had recruited Twitch for this. And now, Twitch was gone. Maybe not for good. Maybe he was all right, somewhere.
"I've never felt so helpless," Charlotte said. "My powers utterly failed."
"You did well lasting long enough for me to reach you," Kendo said. "That serpent is so strong. It countered most of the actions I tried to take as well. We would have both fallen had these children not come to our aid."
"Thank you,"
Charlotte said earnestly.
"I'm so sorry about your friend."
Cole gave a nod. Mira squeezed his shoulder from behind.
"Go, Charlotte," Kendo said. "I'll see to the children."
"I'm not sure I can," Charlotte said. "I'm trained."
Kendo glanced at Cole.
"Would you mind?"
Cole tried to suppress his feelings. Currently he was needed. Morning might have to come later. He took Charlotte's hand. Her power was steady and strong, but not nearly as dazzling as Kendo's. He lent power to her, and a wayport opened behind her.
"Extraordinary,"
Charlotte said, gazing at Cole with startled eyes.
"Thank you, again."
She retreated into the wayport, and it closed. Kendo absently waved a hand, and a new wayport opened.
"Come, let's converse in a safer place."
"What about Twitch?"
Jace asked.
"Kendo isn't sure what happened," Cole said.
The serpent might have sent him far away. Or he could be gone.
Can't you feel where he went?
Violet asked Kendo, then lowered her eyes.
With respect?
Ordinarily I could, Kendo said. This serpent is stealthy. It's like nothing else I've ever encountered, and has been a thorn in my side practically since Creon began.
Does it always make people vanish?
Mira asked. Sometimes, Kendo said. We have also found corpses. Over the years, the perennial serpent has slain 2 active Grand Shapers and dozens of Wayminders, along with many other citizens.
Were the people who vanished ever found?
Cole asked. Kendo paused. Not yet.
And lots have vanished? Jace asked. Some of them a long time ago?
The perennial serpent has been making people disappear with its bite for hundreds of years, Kendo said. Growling, Jace picked up a stone and threw it as far as he could.
I'm going to find that snake and tie it into knots.
Mira approached Jace and hugged him. He embraced her fiercely.
Cole wiped tears from his eyes. He wanted to speak. He wanted to say maybe Twitch was alive and safe someplace far away, or at worst he was in the Echolands. They would all get there, eventually. Maybe Twitch had met up with Zig in the Hall of Glory. No words would come. Once again, Twitch had saved him. And now, Twitch was gone.
We don't know where Twitch went, Mira said. We can hope for the best.
Yeah, Jace said. It seemed like such a nice snake. It probably sent him on a fancy holiday.
We should adjourn to my hideaway, Kendo said, gesturing toward the wayport. Violet entered. Mira followed. Cole stepped through after her into a smallish room filled with walls of clear overlapping crystals. The smooth floor and ceiling were composed of crystal as well. Trying to stare into the distance gave Cole eye strain as prism after prism warped and fragmented the view. Jace came through the wayport with Kendo behind him. The wayport closed.
I feel like I'm inside a kaleidoscope, Cole said.
An apt description, Kendo agreed.
Difficult for the eyes. My apologies. Hardly a pleasant room for entertaining guests. Except that it is extremely well shielded against any crooked wayminders who might wish to visit unexpectedly or spy.
Have you figured out what the serpent wants? Mira asked.
Besides killing people?
The perennial serpent is the oldest unsolved mystery in Creon, Kendo said.
I don't know if it wants anything. For all I know, it could have no agenda. It might simply be a predator, attracted to strong sources of shape and power. Sometimes it appears with a mysterious figure known as the Ancient One. The relationship between the two is not understood. The serpent has historically attacked wayminders. Other citizens tend to perish as collateral damage. It will go decades without an appearance, then attack multiple times in a matter of months.
It has powers, Cole said.
Strong powers, Kendo agreed.
It shapes in ways I have never seen in Creon. I believe it changes size by some form of spatial manipulation. Or maybe it incorporates elements of shaping from other kingdoms. I try to send it elsewhere, and it blocks me or comes right back.
It vanished when I jumped at it, Cole said. I didn't see a wayport.
Some of what the serpent can do is beyond my understanding, Kendo said.
And you can't track it?
Violet asked.
No, Kendo said. I have set up methods to detect its appearance, and I have given some wayminders procedures to contact me if it appears, but I can't block an appearance. I can't sense where it goes when it leaves. And I can't tell what it does to the victims it sends away.
Why not?
Violet asked.
The shape it uses is too raw, Kendo said.
I believe it shapes by pure instinct, and it sometimes flouts the laws we established. I'm so sorry about your friend. I wish I could do more.
Could it be Elegance's power?
Violet asked.
Wouldn't that fit?
It's been around so long, Jace said.
In a world where time travel is possible, Violet replied, made of power that allows time travel to happen.
Everyone was silent.
It fits, Cole said.
Tell me more, Kendo urged.
Mira and Cole explained how Owendell had been schooled by Romaro, how he had taken the shaping power from Mira and her sisters, and what it had looked like as they reclaimed the renegade shaping powers across 4 of the 5 kingdoms.
It's a compelling theory, Kendo said when they finished. I had not given serious consideration to the perennial serpent originating far in the future, but it now sounds plausible, perhaps even probable.
And we also have the problem of Romaro, Cole said. Kendo sighed.
When the Torverse first appeared, I knew the seeds of our destruction had been planted. I wish we could have defeated them. Instead, we delayed the problem by locking them away. We left an awful catastrophe for future generations to inherit.
We have to beat Romaro, Cole said. Just give us away.
I know when you are from, Kendo said. Allow me 20 years. Have your friend, Lorenzo, send you to this same location 20 years from today. I will spend the intervening time learning what I can. Hopefully I can give you better answers after some serious research and experimentation.
Okay, Cole said.
For you, this is a brief delay, Kendo said. With your power to help Lorenzo, you will be talking to me again in a few minutes. Shall I send you back and get to work? If I hurry, I can still go catch the dedication ceremony.
I forgot all about the ceremony, Mira said.
I want to support my student, Kendo said with a sad smile. I leave them on their own far too much. So much to do, so little time.
That's funny coming from a guy who doesn't age, Cole said. Kendo cocked his head.
Anything finite is over in a blink, no matter how long. Only eternity endures. Trust me, I have investigated thoroughly.
I have one other question, Cole said.
Maybe it can wait.
What is it? Kendo asked. Cole braced himself. This was it. If Kendo couldn't help him, he doubted anyone could.
I'm from outside. I hope to get home to stay someday and to help some of my friends do the same.
Yes, I see, Kendo said.
The nature of this realm, even before we engineered it to accommodate living mortals, was to accept beings from elsewhere and prepare them to move on. It's a place of transition. This realm separates you from your previous life, your previous world, distances you. People are not meant to go back from here. They are supposed to journey on toward eternity.
So a return is impossible? Cole asked.
Perhaps not impossible, Kendo said, but extremely difficult and contrary to the nature of this place. Among the grand shapers of Creon, there is talk about the pilgrim path, a way back to our home world. By coming to the outskirts, I gained certain powers and led an interesting life. And I cheated myself out of a truly mortal experience. The longer I live, the more I hope to finish my days with a return to regular mortality.
There it was again. Mention of the pilgrim path. Perhaps a real possibility. Cole didn't trust his voice, but had to ask.
Then you might be able to send me home?
I'm not sure, Kendo said. It should not be possible. But many believed it would not be possible to create a place for mortals in this realm. I have defied what is possible before. Allow me more time to work on this as well.
It's the best news I've gotten, Cole said.
Kendo considered him.
Do you hope to flee before Amaro gets free?
Cole shook his head. I have friends here. No, I just hope there is a way home after we stop him.
Kendo placed a hand on Cole's shoulder.
Quite a boy.
I'll work on it. For now, give Lorenzo my regards.
A wayport opened.
Chapter 19. Proposal.
Kendo Ratan sent you back with the pathway unshielded, Lorenzo said after Cole, Mira, Jace, and Violet returned. I could see where you came from. He deliberately let me know how to access the Crystal Asylum.
He wants us back there 20 years from our previous visit, Violet said.
I understand, Lorenzo said. But the Crystal Asylum is the stuff of legend among Wayminders, even among Grand Shapers.
Romaro is a pretty big problem, Cole said.
What about your friend, Twitch?
Lorenzo asked. Jace explained the fight with a perennial serpent. Cole struggled to keep his outward composure.
What a strange coincidence that the serpent attacked on the very day I sent you back, Lorenzo said. To my knowledge, the attack was not recorded, perhaps because the Wayminders survived. I'm sorry about your friend. Like you, I hope he is well and simply far away.
Can I have a minute? Cole asked. Do you have a private place here?
Lorenzo showed him down a hall into a small room with a cot and a writing desk.
Take your time, the Wayminder said, closing the door.
Cole flopped onto the cot and let himself sob. Hot tears flowed. Why had he brought Twitch into this? Cole pressed his teeth together. Without Twitch, would he have vanished instead? Would he be dead? Or maybe exiled to some distant location? Would his friends be doomed without him? Was it maybe for the best that Twitch had protected him? Was that fair to think? Cole clenched his fists and squeezed his eyes against the tears. He had to keep it together. He and his friends had to stop Romaro. Who was he kidding? Twitch had died. And it was probably pointless. Cole wiped away snot with the back of his hand. He was going to get himself and all his friends killed. Would it be better to serve Romaro? They might live. But what kind of life? A life of slavery. A life of becoming like Owendell. Better to die fighting. Much better. But he wanted to live, and he wanted his friends safe. That meant defeating Romaro. Was it possible? He simply couldn't know yet. It didn't seem likely at the moment. Hopefully Kendo Ratan would help them find a way. Somebody knocked on the door. Probably Mira.
Come in,
Cole said.
Jace entered.
Are you all right?
Jace asked.
Not great, Cole said.
Twitch might be okay.
He might be dead.
We're probably all dead,
Jace said, taking a seat beside Cole on the cot.
Romaro is coming. Think like a Sky Raider. Realize you're probably going to die. And die bravely.
I'm as ready as I can be, Cole said.
I know, Jay said seriously. I've seen. You've changed. Especially since the Echo Lands, you're devoted to this now. You're not as worried about getting home.
I still want to get home, Cole said.
But not until you finish what you started here, Jay said. Not until Romaro is stopped. Not until the princesses are safe.
I had a chance to go home, Cole said quietly. In the Echo Lands, I think it was a real chance, not just a test. And I stayed. I'm committed.
It shows, Jay said.
but losing Twitch is different for you.
I went and got him, Cole said. I brought him into this.
You gave him a chance to die well instead of cowering, Jay said. We all have that chance. We should be grateful for it. Don't fall apart. We're all ready for the risks. We're all volunteers. If any of us fall, the rest have to keep going.
Cole nodded.
It's hard.
Brutal, Jay said. We have to try to win.
Right, Cole said. How is Mira?
Honestly, kind of mad at you.
Because of Twitch?
No, because you cut power to her sword on purpose, right?
Cole winced.
Yeah, she was going to jump at the serpent when it was going wild. Jace nodded.
She's not happy about it. Feels like you don't trust her. Wonders if you see her as a real part of the team. Worries you might do it again.
Did she ask you to talk to me? Cole asked.
I offered, Jay said. She complained after you left, but I could tell she didn't want to bring it up with you because of Twitch.
I was protecting her, Cole said. Between you and me, I'm glad you did it, Jay said.
I'll deny those words if you tell her.
I hear you, Cole said. Maybe I should have let her jump. Maybe she would have killed it.
Do you believe that?
Not really. I'll talk to her.
Should we get going? See what Kendo figured out?
What if he has nothing?
Only one way to find out.
Jay stood. Cole held out a hand, and Jace hauled him to his feet. The others waited in the main room. Lorenzo was speaking with Violet. Cole approached Mira.
Sorry for cutting power to your sword.
Don't try to tell me it was an accident.
It wasn't, Cole said. I was trying to protect you.
I've used jumping swords longer than you, Mira reminded him.
You gave me my first one, Cole said.
I know you meant well, Mira said. Please trust me to take care of myself. Let me be part of the team. I need to know you won't strand me in the middle of a fight.
I'll do my best, Cole said. I have to do what I think is right. I promise not to do anything like that again unless I have an amazing reason.
Is that as good as I'm getting? Mira asked.
I could lie, Cole said.
Sorry about Twitch, Mira said.
Let's hope he's all right, Cole said.
Might as well.
He could outlive all of us, Jay said. He might be in some forgotten corner of the outskirts when the world ends.
It won't end, Mira said. We'll stop it.
Should we go meet Kendo again? Cole asked.
I sure hope he has some good news, Mira said.
Cole crossed to Lorenzo.
We're ready. Can you send us?
No problem, if you lend me the power. I'll send you back to 20 years after you first met Master Ratan.
Cole took his hand. A wayport opened.
10 hours if you need it, Lorenzo said.
Otherwise, Kendo Ratan can send you back earlier.
Cole stepped through into the Crystal Asylum. Kendo awaited him, looking much the same, except for different clothes and slightly longer, messier hair. Jace, Violet, and Mira came through behind him. The wayport was not visible on this end, and so they seemed to simply appear.
Right on schedule, Kendo said.
A quick 20 years for you four, I imagine.
Minutes, not hours, Mira said.
I have refreshments this time, Kendo said, gesturing at a crystal table with 5 chairs. I had more time to prepare. Least I can do, seeing as you're trying to save the world against horrible odds. Some quiche? Pies mostly. Savory on the left, sweet on the right.
Can we stop Romaro? Cole asked.
I have thoughts on the matter, Kendo said.
More than last time. You realize you caught me off guard. We'll talk as we eat. Come, sit.
They gathered around the table. Cole sat beside Violet, across from Jace and Mira. Kendo claimed a seat at the end of the table. He began pointing at various pies with a fork.
"Sausage, beef, lamb, and turkey," he said. "I like the white quiche more than the yellow, and for dessert, peach, apple, or berry."
"Looks good," Jay said, helping himself to a slice of sausage pie.
Cole saw cheese in it and bits of vegetables. He went for the beef. It had a layer of mashed potatoes at the base.
"I have only one plan," Kendo said as the kids started eating. A piece of lamb pie sat before him. He spooned mint jelly onto it.
"What is it?" Cole asked.
"It combines the two issues you asked about," Kendo said. "I have come up with no way to strengthen the void. It will hold as long as it will hold, probably not very long. I can think of no way to entrap Romaro once he gets free, and I have no idea how to defeat him."
"Not great so far," Jay said.
"Let me share the plan," Kendo said.
"I have explored the feasibility of the Pilgrim Path, a way to go permanently from the outskirts to Earth. I believe it is possible. I also suspect that if we could lure Romaro down the Pilgrim Path, we might be able to solve our dilemma."
"What about Earth?" Cole asked.
"There is a chance Romaro would be powerless on Earth," Kendo said.
"And it is possible he would take over your world and rule unchallenged until the end of time."
"We can't let that happen," Cole said, no longer interested in his food.
"Agreed," Kendo said. "And so I must research exactly which alternative would play out."
"Haven't you done that already?"
Jace asked.
"As much as I can for now," Kendo said. "The Pilgrim Path remains a theoretical option. I can't be sure it will work until I walk it, and once I walk it, I cannot return."
"So you're waiting," Violet said.
"Yes," Kendo said. "I may have to wait a good while. Walking the Pilgrim Path will strip me of all connection to the outskirts. I would permanently lose my powers."
"Does that mean Romaro would lose his powers if he walks the path?" Mira asked.
"I think so," Kendo said. "He would certainly lose his connection to the outskirts. But Torvers are from outside as well. I'm not sure how his native powers would manifest in Cole's world. I believe Earth would be inherently hostile to his source of power, but I'm not certain."
"We can't send Romaro to Earth unless we know he won't destroy the planet," Cole said.
"Agreed," Kendo replied.
"Do you think the Pilgrim Path will work?"
Violet asked.
"I strongly believe so," Kendo said. "But I'm not completely certain. Nor am I sure what walking the path will do to me. My shaping powers are so much a part of me. I don't know who exactly I will be after I lose them."
"You'll age again," Mira said.
"Yes," Kendo said. "Possibly all at once. I might walk the Pilgrim Path and immediately turn to dust. Though I suspect I will simply return to the normal process of aging."
"How do we find out more?" Cole asked, working on his pie again.
"I have a plan," Kendo said. "Part of me has wanted to attempt the Pilgrim Path for a good while. No man is meant to live forever, at least not as a mortal. And I have borne the burden of protecting the outskirts for so long. I don't want to bear it eternally. And now I know the day. You children have given me a reason. I can walk away from the outskirts and protect it at the same time."
"I don't follow," Jay said.
"Hundreds of years from now, 10 years before you meet Lorenzo Debray, I will walk the Pilgrim Path. That will allow me to confirm that the path can be walked and give me time to study the safety of bringing Romaro to Earth."
"And we will be able to visit you there," Violet said.
"I will continue to research the matter and examine all contingencies. When you return to Lorenzo, he will have information about how to contact me on Earth
and he will send you there to find me.
Then he already knew you were there when he met us, Cole said.
Correct, assuming I follow through on this plan. If I do not, he will have other instructions. When you return to Lorenzo, simply tell him I gave you permission to see inside the green box.
That green box?
Violet asked, pointing to a container roughly the size of a shoebox beside the dessert pies.
If you have no objection to the container, Kendo said,
I rather like it.
I will be preparing for hundreds of years, and you will know my fate in a matter of hours.
Does this mean I could walk the pilgrim path one day? Cole asked. And could my friends who were taken?
I will leave detailed instructions behind, Kendo said. If I succeed, yes, it means you could probably walk the path as well.
At the same cost, of course. You would lose your shape and abilities and become so out of tune with the outskirts that you could never return.
What about the Echo Lands? Cole asked. After I die.
I can't speak to those matters, Kendo said. What happens after you die is an issue for the Grand Shapers of Necronum. Or, you know, wait and see. I rather enjoy a good surprise.
There is no other way to fight Romaro? Jace asked.
Not that I can currently imagine, Kendo said. Not that leaves you a chance to win. I'll keep pondering the matter. If things become sufficiently dire, you could always consult the other Tordivore.
Trillian, Cole said. I've met him.
And here you stand, Kendo said, without his taint upon you. Impressive.
Talking to Trillian would almost certainly make matters worse, Mira said.
I agree in principle, Kendo said. Neither Tordivore can be trusted. Either would gladly take over the Five Kingdoms. And yet, if defeat ever becomes certain, any chance is better than none.
It's something to remember, Cole said.
Dessert, Jace said, reaching for a slice of peach pie.
So that's it, Cole said. We go back to Lorenzo and see what's in the box.
If I come up with new ideas between now and then, I'll adjust, Kendo said. Otherwise, expect information about how to find me.
Hopefully, I will have the answers you need. For now, enjoy the meal.
Cole could not keep his thoughts from straying to Dalton, Hunter, and Jenna as he ate, and the other kids from his world. They would freak out when they heard there was a chance they could truly go home. It had seemed impossible for so long. If only Cole could live long enough to see them again. Cole almost didn't dare to hope for success. Though perhaps possible, it remained so distant. And hoping for unlikely but desperately desired outcomes was a fast road to disappointment and pain. One step at a time, one victory at a time. He tried a little of each dessert pie and liked Barry the best. It seemed Jace had about 2 slices of everything.
How do you eat so much? Violet asked him.
I think the secret is spending most of your life as an underprivileged slave, Jace said. It also helps when you're pretty sure the world is about to end, and if you don't mind eating until it hurts.
If you're done, I can send you back to Lorenzo, Kendo said.
Cole looked around the table. The others seemed in agreement.
Sure,
Mira said. A wayport opened.
I look forward to our next meeting, Kendo said. One way or another.
Chapter 20. Outside.
Kendo gave us permission to see inside the green box, Cole reported once they were back inside Lorenzo's subterranean lair.
I knew it!
Lorenzo exclaimed.
Did you know about us all along?
Mira asked.
And about the box?
I very strongly suspected, Lorenzo said. But I was under strict instructions not to show the box unless you asked.
How much did you know?
Cole asked.
I knew about you, Cole, and your power, Lorenzo said. I knew Mira was a princess. I had heard about Jace and Violet. Kendo Rattan did not want me involving the wrong people. Cole, the extent of your ability still surprised me.
Have you looked into the box? Mira asked.
Never, Lorenzo said. I've waited for this day for the last 10 years. That was when Kendo confirmed to me that the Pilgrim Path was more than just a fable and left the green box in my care. Then he departed this world.
Do you know if he survived? Mira asked.
He survived, Lorenzo said. I visited him right after he went. It was a success.
Did Kendo tell you about the dedication of the Halbrook School so we would find him? Cole asked.
Perhaps, Lorenzo said.
How does that work? Cole asked. How could he know to tell you? The first time the dedication happened, we wouldn't have been there.
Remember, Lorenzo said, once you go back in time, you were always there. And if you were there, Kendo could have planted seeds to help it happen.
I don't get it, Cole said.
You think of cause and effect as linear, Lorenzo said. You think one has to precede the other. That breaks down when you can move across time. It's hard to think four-dimensionally when we typically live in three. Even the best time jumpers only operate as guests in four dimensions.
The box? Mira prompted.
This way, Lorenzo said.
A wayport opened. He motioned for them to enter. Cole went through after Jace and emerged in another large underground rectangular room that looked a lot like the one they had left. Violet and Mira came through, followed by Lorenzo.
Is this really a different place?
Jace asked suspiciously.
It's a long way from my other hideout, Lorenzo said. I'm not much of an artist. I've used the same plan for several hideaways. I almost never come here. It's where I keep the box.
He led them to a table. Cole recognized the box awaiting them. Lorenzo inserted a key and lifted the lid. He removed a piece of lined paper and handed it to Cole.
This looks like it's from my world, Cole said.
I'm sure it is, Lorenzo said. Kendo visited Earth many times before walking the Pilgrim Path. He left the box shortly before he departed the Five Kingdoms for good.
Cole looked at the note.
Dear Cole, Mira, Jace, and Violet, I trust you are well. If all goes according to plan, when you read this, we will have recently spoken, though from my point of view, it has been a very long time since our last conversation. I will have walked the Pilgrim Path 10 years ago. Hopefully Lorenzo was able to confirm that I arrived to Earth safely. If not, I apologize and encourage you to plan alternate strategies with him. Come see me, and I will tell you all I can about how we might lure Ramaro to Earth and whether it would be ethical to try. You will find me in the Miami area, South Beach, a condo high-rise called the Pinnacle on Playa Circle. I'm number 1421. Hit the button. I'll be waiting. See you soon. By the way, I have encountered the perennial serpent a few more times and feel it could indeed be an embodiment of stolen shape and power. I hoped to defeat it for you, but never succeeded. See you shortly. Kendo Rattan.
I've never been to Miami, Cole said.
It's pleasant, Lorenzo replied.
You've been? Cole exclaimed.
I've visited many places, Lorenzo said. Miami had delicious stone crab and wonderful Cuban sandwiches. I can get you near the Pinnacle. You'll have 2 hours maximum, but I can send you again if needed.
Our shaping won't work there, Mira said.
None of it, Lorenzo agreed. Your powers will be entirely dormant, so be careful.
He took out a roll of $20 bills and handed it to Cole.
Some money, just in case.
Cole thumbed through the bills. It was surreal to look at regular money after so long, something that had once felt so valuable and now seemed incredibly small compared to everything else at stake here. Still, his old self would have freaked out to have this much cash in his hands.
"This is a lot," he exclaimed.
Lorenzo shrugged.
"Don't be conspicuous about it. You'll have it if you need it."
He held out a hand.
"Do you mind giving me a little help?"
Cole took his hand and energized his power. A wayport opened. It was too bright to stare at directly.
"Are you sure this doesn't lead to the sun?" Cole asked.
"Openings to the outside tend to be brilliant," Violet said.
"And a little more disorienting," Lorenzo said. "Try to relax. You'll arrive just fine."
"We can go?" Mira asked.
"Already?" "Thanks to my limitless energy source," Lorenzo said, giving Cole a pat on the shoulder.
"I like the hustle," Cole said. "We have no time to waste. I can't believe I'll be back in my world, even for a little while."
"Me first," Jay said, stepping into the radiant portal.
Cole followed. When Cole stepped inside, bright whiteness blinded him entirely. His foot did not reach the ground. Instead, he floated forward, or down. He seemed to move and hold still at the same time. Cracking his eyes against the glaring light, Cole could see no details. He began to feel nauseated. And then his feet were on dirt, and he could open his eyes just fine. Cole stood beside Jace in a corner where concrete walls intersected. Succulents and shrubs grew all around him, screening him from view. Mira appeared, and then Violet. Cole led the others out of the patch of vegetation and into a parking lot. Towering white clouds floated in an otherwise blue sky. Art Deco buildings crowded an avenue. A row of palm trees stretched high and slender with shaggy tops. Not far away, a white sand beach spread out with the ocean beyond. Lots of foot traffic moved along a walkway paralleling the beach. A blend of people in touristy attire, scantily clad beachgoers, slackers, and fitness enthusiasts.
"If you get thirsty around here, just breathe," Jay said.
"Hot and humid," Cole agreed.
"But look at that beach. People in your world don't wear very much when they swim," Jace observed.
"I guess not," Cole had to agree.
"The buildings are huge," Violet said, looking around.
"This is nothing," Cole said. "They get bigger. Like Zeropolis." "Want to go for a quick swim?"
Jace asked, eyes on the water.
"Kind of," Cole said. "Aren't we racing the end of the world?"
"Exactly," Jace said.
"What if this is our only chance?"
"Maybe after we talk to Kendo," Mira said. "There may be time." Cole noticed a street sign. "Playa Circle is right over there. It looks tiny." He pointed to a white building taller than some of the others.
"I bet that's the pinnacle."
"Let's find out," Mira said. They hurried over to Playa Circle and turned up the little street. An awning over the front doors proclaimed the suspected building the pinnacle. Cole opened the front doors into a small room with columns of buttons beside four-digit numbers on the wall. The air was markedly cooler. Jace tried the next door but found it locked.
"I think we can call him from here," Cole said. He had seen such devices in movies, but had never used one.
1421,
Violet reminded them. Cole found the number and pressed the button. They waited a moment.
"Hello?"
asked a male voice, recognizably Kendo.
"Hi, Kendo," Cole said.
"We're here."
A pause followed.
"Excuse me?
It's Cole, Mira, Jace, and Violet," Cole said. "We're here for our meeting?" Another pause.
"I'm not sure what you mean,"
I'm not expecting anyone. There is no soliciting allowed here, young man.
You're Kendo Rattan, right?
That is